I've noticed over the last couple of months that in our society, there is an increased awareness of vulnerability, physical vulnerability. I saw a stat last week that almost 50% of Americans, when asked, worry that they or someone they know will be the victim of a terrorist attack. Mass shootings, terrorist attacks, they're out there. And I think that, again, for many of us, we've never had the experience of vulnerability like we do right now. Now, of course, from season to season in our lives, whether it's when we move to college, we get a job, we get married, we retire, we have children, in all of these life phases, we experience vulnerability at some level. And then we may have crises in our lives, the breakdown of a marriage, the loss of physical health, even approaching death, and we become aware of our vulnerability. But I find that it's on most of our minds in ways that it hasn't been before, just how vulnerable we are. And I wonder tonight if celebrating the incarnation might do something to help us as we wrestle with what it means to be radically vulnerable. We come to the Gospel of Luke tonight, and courtesy of Linus in Charlie Brown's Christmas, this is one of the better known portions of scripture by our culture at large, but it's a beautiful passage. It's a story about a Jewish man and woman going to Bethlehem. Now remember that at the time in the first century, the Jewish people were incredibly vulnerable. It's been a theme throughout history, actually. We see it even today. But the vulnerability of Joseph and Mary, completely at the whim of Caesar. Caesar Augustus decides that the world should be registered, so the world needs to get registered. We're not going to give you an exemption because you're pregnant. We don't care about your economic circumstances. We just need you to go. And because we've said go, you go. Joseph, Mary, Jewish people, very vulnerable. But uniquely, Joseph and Mary were vulnerable. Mary, of course, was pregnant, and the circumstances of Mary's pregnancy were odd, to say the least. So one could imagine that Mary's explanation of her pregnancy, oh, this is something the Lord did, probably did not go over very well, probably wasn't believed very well by those around her. And so, especially in that day and age, someone in that circumstance, very vulnerable. And so we have a vulnerable Jewish couple in a vulnerable situation taking a fairly intense trek down from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Not an easy trip, even in that day, was not an easy trip. And so this is a story of vulnerability. But of course, the vulnerability reaches its climax when the baby is born and Mary takes this child, wraps him in swaddling clothes, and lies him in a manger. Now, from the outside, maybe nothing remarkable about this scene. But as Christians, we believe that this baby that was born to this vulnerable couple in a uniquely vulnerable situation was in fact God incarnate. And so this baby is God incarnate. And what that means for us is that the very God who created the heaven, the very God who created earth, the very God who gives us life, had become radically vulnerable himself. Born to vulnerable parents in a uniquely vulnerable situation, the God who created heaven and earth, the God who sustains life, had become radically vulnerable himself. He comes to Joseph, he comes to Mary in their vulnerability by becoming vulnerable himself. But the vulnerability of God that we see in the manger does not end at the manger. In fact, the vulnerability that we see in the manger reaches its conclusion on the cross. Because the baby was radically vulnerable, but the man Jesus on the cross was equally so. He was completely stripped, beaten, mocked, scourged, unjustly tried and accused, and sentenced to death. And the result of that was profound shame, being hung, being crucified as a common criminal between thieves. And so again, the God who created heaven, the God who created earth, the God who sustains life has become vulnerable, not only laid in a manger as a baby, but unjustly accused, sentenced to death, and brutally executed for all the world to see. So it is that the God who created us has seen the vulnerability of his creation. And we believe that we are vulnerable, and we are right to believe that, because our life is very fragile. And our life is very fragile because of the reality of sin. Human sin and rebellion is the cause of this profound vulnerability that each one of us experiences. And so when Jesus became born in this vulnerable situation and continued his life and concluded his life on the Roman cross in profound shame and vulnerability, he did so to take on the consequences of our human sin, which leads to this radical vulnerability. He took it on himself. He took on sin. He took on death. But the good news is that the story of God's vulnerability does not end on the cross. On that first Easter Sunday morning, Jesus rises, his body impenetrable by sin and death. And so the God who became vulnerable in the midst of our vulnerability has taken sin and death on himself and rises triumphantly, victoriously, and extends his hand and invites us to share in this new life. The truth is, as we find ourselves in this vulnerable position tonight, and some may experience more or less of this, but I believe it's something we all experience, our instinct might be to say, God, can you get me out of this vulnerable spot? But I believe that the pattern that we see in the incarnation, God becoming flesh, is not, I'll get you out of your vulnerable spot, but I'll be present with you in the vulnerable spot. And because I'm coming to you in such a way that I will demonstrate that you need not fear in the midst of your vulnerability. Because I believe that one response that so many of us have so often to this vulnerability is fear. And fear leads us to make very bad decisions. On one hand, fear may lead us to completely withdraw, or do our best to protect ourselves at any cost. On the other hand, fear may lead us to lash out in anger and hatred and violence. Leading with fear is not the way God intends us to live. God instead intends us to live from a place of love. In 1 John, John writes to us that perfect love casts out fear. How do we know perfect love? We know perfect love through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. St. Paul writes that God demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so when we acknowledge the vulnerable state in which we find ourselves, and when we acknowledge that it's not only the sin of those out there, but the sin in here that causes this situation, that Jesus, the vulnerable one, comes to us, and he leads us from the manger to the cross, and he shows us his love for us. And then he leads us from the cross to the empty tomb. And he shows us that there's hope, that love is stronger than sin and death. And so as he extends his hand to us, he invites us to live no longer in fear, but rather in love. And as we open our hearts to receive his love, the fear is cast out. And we find ourselves no longer needing to fear in the midst of vulnerability, because we have met a love that's stronger than sin and that's stronger than death. And so we can live out of love and not of fear. Christina Rossetti, the great poet of the late 19th century, wrote a poem simply called Love Came Down. And when she writes about the first nativity, she talks about the signs, the stars and the angels. But she asks the question more poetically than I'm going to ask it now. No stars and angels tonight. What's our sign that love has come down? And the answer that she gives is that our sign is the very presence of Jesus in our midst, known mystically through the word, through the sacrament, through prayer. And so as we open ourselves tonight to experience this love that's greater than sin and death, that casts out all fear, my hope and prayer that we can say with the psalmist, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. We believe in a God who saw our vulnerability and chose to come into our midst as one who is vulnerable in the manger. But the vulnerable one went from the manger to the cross, where the ultimate act of vulnerability, taking the shame of the cross, the shame of sin, and the ultimate fate of death onto himself. And then he takes us to the empty tomb, where he shows us that his love is stronger than sin, and his love is stronger than death. And so no matter how vulnerable we find ourselves today, his love is stronger than that. And we have the capacity through him to live out of love rather than fear. And so wherever you find yourself tonight on your spiritual journey, I know that vulnerability is something real, and it's something that all of us experience to a greater or lesser degree, but my sense is that there's a greater degree in our lives today than there has been in a while. And so I wonder if today, wherever you might be on your journey, if you would be open to the God who became vulnerable, coming in our midst, the God who shows us that his love is stronger than sin and stronger than death, that God wants to meet us right now. And so as we receive him, as we receive his love tonight, we experience forgiveness of our sins and the freedom to live not out of fear, but out of love. Because the God who became vulnerable in the manger went to the cross. And the God who went to the cross rose from the dead. And tonight, that love that is stronger than sin and death is here in our midst. We need only open our hands and ask. Amen.